Our scripture reading this morning is taken from John 20, and I'll read the verses 19 through 29. John 20, verses 19 to 29. Before we read these words in Holy Scripture, then the same day at evening, verse 19 of chapter 20, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your fingers here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we go through life, as each one of us go through life, whether we are young, middle-aged, or old, we encounter different difficulties, different things that happen in our lives, things that we expect, things that we prepare for. When we're young, we go to school, our parents send us to school, we know what to expect when we get to school, we have our teachers, our classmates. We go to high school, and after high school, one starts to think, what will I do after high school? Will I work? Will I go to this place or that place to study? And so life moves on, and we make our plans. We think of the future. But there's also the things that come into our life that are unexpected, things that we're not planning. Maybe a sickness, an ailment, a disappointment, a breaking of a relationship and an engagement. Wanted to go to study somewhere and we're not accepted. Wanted to work somewhere and there's not the job that we were planning to have. Work becomes scarce, or the pay we were expecting to receive doesn't work out. All kinds of things that can happen in life. We lose a partner, we lose a child, we lose a parent. And as we move through our lives, there are those things we plan for, the expected thing. This is what's ahead. This is what I'm planning for. And then the unexpected thing, the accident, the ailment, the loss of job, the loss of this or that, that suddenly takes us by surprise, and suddenly we have to readjust our lives and ask ourselves, now what? Now what's going to happen? What can I expect? Or what's going to happen to me? And what's the center of my life? What's going to take me on and take me through so I may continue. As we read John 1, first of all, John 20, verse 1, now the first day of the week, which is repeated in verse 19, then the same day, that first day of the week, at evening. And what we need to realize is that the disciples were confronted with something that they were not planning for. What they were planning for was the kingdom of God, coming to this earth, the kingdom of God manifesting itself in all of its splendor. They were expecting great things. They're with Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. Didn't the whole Testament speak about this one who would come, who would restore, who would build up, who would grant them hope, who would grant them life, he who would come to save them and grant them victory so that they could continue forth from victory unto victory, from glory. And when they beheld him, they saw the glory of God, of the only begotten of the Father. They heard his voice, as sheep hear the voice of the pastor, and they followed him, and they heard him and said, "It is good. The promised one is now with us." And we'll see the kingdom of God. And you can read about that earlier. They're discussing, for example, who would sit on his right hand and in his left hand in the coming of the kingdom. These are great days, great expectations, great things happening when Jesus Christ rides into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of gladness, of joy. And suddenly everything comes apart. And suddenly their Lord is judged. He's condemned to die. The people reject him. He's placed on the cross of Calvary. And there, he dies. His life is separated from him, and he's buried in a tomb. And all their hope, all their expectations, everything that they had prepared themselves for is gone. It disappears. It's no longer there. And even as we, in our lives, live day by day, and suddenly we come up against these matters in our lives that disappoint us greatly. Everything I dreamed for has been taken away. It's no longer there. We can in some ways identify with the disappointment of the disciples. Our lives have come apart. And not only have our lives come apart, but we've been bound together with Jesus Christ, finding our strength in Jesus Christ, our hope in Jesus Christ. We could confront so much. We could confront the evil all around us, the evil of the disbelieving leadership of the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We could confront the Romans, but now that's all gone. The one in whom we placed, he has died. He's dead. In many ways, you could say that their hope died within them. The first day of the week. But then from verse 1 to 18, you read about these great things. First of all, the ladies and the women being witnesses that Jesus Christ no longer was dead, and Jesus Christ appearing to Mary Magdalene, that Jesus Christ indeed had rose from the dead, and the news starts to spread. And Peter and John also witnessing that Jesus Christ no longer is in the tomb. He's no longer there. The announcement of the angels, he is no longer among the dead. He has risen. And yet we read that first day, that great day of the resurrection. Read that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. They had again come together. They had looked for each other in their despair. They're assembled. They're congregated. But they're not congregated with joy. There's doubts in the hearts of many. And we also read, as they're there, the doors are shut. Why are the doors are shut? For fear of the Jews. Fear was bound up, the fear of man was bound up in their hearts. Their hope was shattered. And we look back. We look back just as the Old Testament looks forward to the salvation that Jesus Christ would attain. We look back to the cross of Calvary, and we know that in the cross of Calvary, that is where our hope lies. But for these disciples, on that first evening, at the first day of the week, they didn't yet get it. It was too much for them. They're still bound up in their grief, bound up in not understanding what was happening all around them. It was too much to comprehend. It was too much to understand. And so they're bound up with fear. They're assembled together with fear, sharing that fear of what would happen to them. If this is what they'll do to our Lord, what will they do to us? They're gathered together for fear of the Jews. And then it says, Jesus Christ came, and he stood in the midst of them. Here they're gathered together. Here they're not understanding. Here their hope is shattered. And suddenly Jesus Christ is there. He's with them. And he says to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. What peace? Jesus Christ had died. Everybody was gone. Just the disciples together. The whole crowds, the whole mass of people had asked for the blood of Jesus Christ. How can Israel be restored? How can it be redeemed? How can it be saved? How can the kingdom of God be established? And Jesus Christ appears and says, peace be with you. What peace? The peace that passeth all understanding. The peace that comes in the midst of a world full of war and hate and bloodshed. In the midst of our lives, the lives that we live in this world, Jesus Christ comes and he says, as he said to the disciples in those days, peace be with you. I am with you and I will never forsake you. And as we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as disciples, apostles, look back at those events that they had shared with Jesus Christ, and as the Holy Spirit grants them to remember, these were the words that Jesus Christ had said over and over and over again. Take down the temple. Destroy the temple. And in 3 days, I will build it up. Speaking about his own body that would be placed on a cross, that would be broken, that would be destroyed. But in 3 days, Jesus Christ would rise again from the grave. That first day of the week was the day to look forward to. For that would be the event in history when death would be conquered and the victory would be attained. And in Christ's resurrection, his resurrection from the dead, we look back and we say, as Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary, our old man was placed there on the cross with him. As he died, our old man died with him. When he was buried, their old sinful nature was buried with him. But on this day, when Jesus Christ arose from the grave, we were resurrected with him unto eternal life. We look back and we say, and that day is the victory day. And this day, the first day of the week, Sunday, we celebrate that eternal rest with our Lord, that indeed our Lord is the victorious one. We celebrate. He has risen from the grave. And we celebrate that he is with us and he grants us peace. What peace? In the midst of a world at war, a peace that will calm us in our in-depth being, that even as we look around us, at the world around us, that's so broken by sin, so broken by evil. When we listen to our political authorities making pronouncements that are clearly against the Word of God, clearly a violation of what God has commanded us in His Word, and we know by reading Scripture and by Scripture informing our mind to the Holy Spirit, when we know that these laws will have dire consequences for our countries, for those around us, and even for ourselves, that these laws that our governments pass are deadly laws that will lead to death, physical death, spiritual death. And we say to ourselves, where is our hope? What's to help us to move forward? We grab hold onto the words of Jesus Christ. My peace I give to you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you in the sense of we have been, through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, through the life that he has granted to us, we have been reconciled to God. We are one with God, one with Jesus Christ. We live with Jesus Christ and his Spirit, the Spirit that he had promised the disciples, I will not leave you alone. I will not abandon you. When I go, I will send to you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that will train, that will teach you, that will guide you in all that's true, in all that's lovely, in all that's good, in all that's in accord with our God that speaks to us today. My peace be with you. Do not fear. Do not tremble. Do not worry. I am with you, and I will never, ever forsake you. And then to testify, Jesus Christ was indeed in his presence, that it was their Lord, that it was their Savior, the one who had saved them from their sins. Jesus Christ, when he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And we read those words, they were glad. They were glad. They were filled with a joy. Suddenly, the blinders come off. Suddenly, those eyes that just could not see clearly enough, that could not understand, suddenly the scales fall off and they see Jesus Christ. They see the marks in the flesh. They see the mark in the side. And they recognize, it's our Lord. It's our Lord and Savior. We do have hope. And something enters into their life that they were hardly able to grasp, a deep, profound joy, an understanding that they just hadn't been able to comprehend before, that Jesus Christ, in their presence, had indeed fulfilled the word, his word much more and way beyond their own expectation. So Jesus Christ then repeats to them, peace be with you. He says, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Where? Where? We only have to keep reading in divine history to know that this is just the beginning. This is the beginning of the sending. And ascending and ascending forth from Jerusalem, from Judea, Samaria, and beyond until the ends of the earth, the Word of God, that the Word of God would no longer be bound to just one particular nation, but that the nation of God would be extended through this whole world. I send you out, the sent one, the apostles, to do what? To proclaim the gospel, the good news of salvation. That this world can be changed. That this world can be transformed. That it can be different. But only through Jesus Christ. Only by obedience to the Bible, the Word of God. Only by the receiving of the Holy Spirit. That without the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God, without Jesus Christ, there is not salvation. He is the one and only that can save us from all of our sins, and we must believe in him alone. There's only peace with God, only reconciliation with God, only one with God through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one, absolutely no one, will come to the Father without Jesus Christ. We must listen to the Word of God. We must listen to Jesus Christ and follow him. And so I send you out. I send you out to proclaim that news, to proclaim Jesus Christ, to proclaim me, Jesus Christ says. I send you out with that good news that this life in this world is not the end. To proclaim eternal life, to proclaim the resurrection of the dead, that there is life after death, and that for the Christian, our dying is just a passing from this life to the next, to eternal life, to be with God forevermore. Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. And then verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. Now, this is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ, the author of life. We think of God in the beginning, granting, breathing upon that which he had made from the dust of the earth, man. And a living soul appears. Man lives. And here we see the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them so they can indeed begin their ministry of proclaiming the Word of God, the gospel, to all the nations. But here we see a kind of a pre-breathing of Jesus Christ in his sending of the apostles, of the disciples, to go out into the world, receive the Holy Spirit. And then these words, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That which is declared by disciples is bound, will indeed be bound in heaven. And that which is loosed will be loosed upon this earth. Jesus Christ thereby granting the keys of the kingdom, of declaring those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who follow Jesus Christ, those who bow down to Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins, recognizing him as Lord, they indeed will have eternal life. They'll be born again by the Spirit. But those who refuse to listen, who turn their backs to the Word, who grieve and commit the sin against the Holy Spirit, saying, I will have nothing to do with it, and persist in their sinfulness, they will be declared a part of this world, dead in their sin and their trespasses. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Again, the norm, the rule that we judge by, the rule of the Holy Spirit, the rule of God, the rule of Jesus Christ is the Bible. If one indeed confesses his sin, seeking to live according to the law of God, indeed we declare that that person has come to know Jesus Christ. But if a person willfully remains in sin and refuses to seek Jesus Christ, refusing to repent of their sins, they're declared dead in their sin and their trespasses. Now, as we live in this world, we know it's not always that easy, especially if the Word of God comes to us, the Holy Spirit reveals to us his will and works in our own lives and shows us, when we come to know who we really are in comparison to our holy, almighty, all-powerful, all-glorious God, we come to realize we are sinners. We have sinned, and even as we come to know Jesus Christ more and more and more, the closer we come to the light of Jesus Christ, the more we come to know him in the depth of our being, the more we come to recognize the sinfulness of our nature, that we're not there yet. And we live day by day, day by day, each day, Sunday goes by, Monday morning comes, we go back to our jobs, back to our schools, back to our homes. We live each day, and it can be a struggle, right? We struggle. We struggle with our own lives, our own doubts, our own temptations, our own weaknesses, and sometimes it just doesn't seem sufficient. And we ask ourselves, how can I go on? What's the base of my life? I believe in Jesus Christ, but it can be oh so difficult at times. He had those words in verses 24 to 29. Thomas, Thomas says, it's easy to compare ourselves to a man who's strong. Then we have Thomas. Who's Thomas? Well, he's not a Judas. Judas rejected the Lord. He turned his back. He sold his Lord. But here we have Thomas. Doubting Thomas, we call him. Thomas doubts. He hears the disciples. Disciples had said, we have seen the Lord. We have seen Jesus Christ. He granted to us the presence of the Holy Spirit. He breathed in us. He has sent us out to proclaim the good news that he has indeed risen from the grave unto eternal life. We have seen him with our own eyes. We saw the marks in his hands. We saw the mark in his side. It's the Lord. It's our Lord. They confess his name, and Thomas says, don't believe it. It doesn't happen. How could a man arise from the grave? It's impossible. He's dead. He's in the grave. He just can't come up. And somehow that doubt has power over him. And refuses to acknowledge it. And finally he says, only if I see, if I can put my finger in those nail holes, only if I can put my hand in the side, only then will I believe. But until then, no way. It's impossible. It didn't happen. I can't believe. And he gets bound up in his weakness, in his inability to have hope and to be glad. And it says in verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, is not with them. When Jesus came, the disciples therefore said, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my fingers into the print of the nails, put my hand into the side, I will not believe. And then it says in verse 26, and after 8 days. Why 8 days? Why does the Lord wait 8 days? He looks down on Thomas. He sees Thomas doubting, and he leaves him in his doubt. The disciples are glad. They're with the woman. Great things have happened. Jesus Christ is now with us. And Jesus Christ leaves Thomas doubting and doubting and grieving, unable to comprehend, unable to see. But take this back to your own life. Haven't we gone through periods when life can be so hard, so difficult, and we don't see, and we don't understand, and we wonder, and the days go by, and the days go by, depression seems to settle upon one, or one that we know. Maybe we're not that kind of person. We see others that they just become depressed and depressed, and the days go by, and we just can't understand, how can you be that way, or how come I am like this? Why is all my hope gone? Where did it go? I can think back to days that were so good, when everything seemed to be so positive, and Jesus Christ seemed to be so near, but now he seems so far away. Is it real? Is Christianity real? Is God for real? And that the doubt descends upon us. That's why it can be so difficult. It's so easy to judge. We can judge others. We can even judge ourselves. Am I truly a Christian? Is God truly with me? Does his Spirit truly reside in me? And we come like Thomas. And the Lord leaves us. And the days go by, the weeks go by, the months go by, and it just seems that this darkness seems to settle upon our lives. And the Lord seems so far away. And after I'll speak with people in my own ministry that share me with me those experiences. I can remember when I first was a Christian and I knew the Lord, but now it just doesn't seem so real anymore. What can I do? Thomas says, I want to see. I want to see with my eyes, and he refuses to believe. The Lord leaves him there until the 8th day. The disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus comes, the nails, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be to you. Peace be to you. And even as he's saying his words, he says to Thomas, reach out your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it in my side. be not unbelieving, but believing. And as these words come to Thomas, as Jesus Christ says, peace be with you, do not be unbelieving. We can go to those who are struggling with their doubts, with their wonderments, with wondering what's going to happen, what's the meaning of life. We can come with the words of Scripture and we can say, believe, believe. God is real. God has not forsaken us. God is with us. Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary, but he arose from the dead. His Spirit is with us. Believe, believe. Go again to the words of Scripture. Read, take up and read, and listen. Listen to the Word of God. Pray. Come into his presence. Ask that you may be strengthened. And if not today, continue praying and praying and praying, reading Scripture until again the Lord will take the scales off your eyes that you again may see and have hope and have joy and gladness within your heart. For we see Thomas when he puts those fingers, he's put his finger in the marks in Jesus Christ's hands and his hand in the side of Jesus Christ. He says, my Lord and my God. And when he says that word, you can just see Thomas. Suddenly his face starts to shine. Suddenly he starts to realize, how is it possible that I could doubt my Lord? How is it possible that I could not comprehend that he had risen? Why those doubts? Why those fears? Why that lack of understanding? And yet because of our sinfulness, because of our brokenness, it can indeed be so hard. And yet Jesus Christ is near. He is always with us. He will never forsake us. And he will continue to extend to us, saying to us, peace be with you. My peace I leave with you. Take heart. Look to me. Believe in me. I am alive. I have risen from the grave. That hope of the kingdom of God has not been lost. Our society can incline more and more to sin and to evil. Everything can be so broken around us. And as we hear these voices around us saying, come, take, and follow the culture around us. Be like us. Jesus Christ doesn't exist. We now know, we scientists, we psychologists, that there is no God. God doesn't exist. We can go back to Scripture and say, no way. God has revealed. God has said to me that indeed there is a God, and indeed death has been conquered through Jesus Christ, that he is alive, that he has ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God. On that, my faith is based. That is the foundation of my life, and I believe in the midst of my unbelief that there indeed is a God in heaven. Thomas confesses, my Lord, the one I'm subject to, the one who's over me, the one who rules over me. And he says, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. It's a confession of faith. Not only that Jesus Christ is Lord of all things, but Jesus Christ indeed is also 100% God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one only God, which is something we'll see this afternoon as we study the catechism. My Lord and my God. And Jesus Christ finishes this passage saying, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Are we so much better than Thomas? No. We're no different than Thomas. But God has granted to us his Spirit. His Spirit lives in us. The only reason that we can say that we believe in Jesus Christ, the only reason that God takes us through those deep valleys, those doubts, those troubles, the only reason is because God has granted to us the Holy Spirit that has opened our eyes so we may indeed identify Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, that Jesus Christ indeed is the one who has conquered death. Jesus Christ came to the disciples and said, go forth. I send you out. I send you out into this world. In many ways, we can say we're not the disciples, we're not the apostles, we don't write scripture today, but yet through the pastors that God has ordained, through the eldership, and also through the office of all believers, all of us in some way or another have received the anointing of the Holy Spirit to go out into this world and to speak, to talk about, to share our faith in Jesus Christ. It can seem so hard. It's not easy to talk about another person. We do have that fear within us. The world seems so close to Jesus Christ. How can I speak to him? How can I speak to her? She's not going to respond. He's not going to respond. He's not going to listen. And we see those all around us. We think, how can our culture, how can Canadian culture be turned again towards Jesus Christ? It's a dying culture. It's an old culture. It's a dead culture. There's no longer any hope for those people. They have rejected Jesus Christ. I talked to them, and they're the same person that I knew yesterday. They just don't understand. They just don't believe. But Jesus Christ comes to us. And Jesus Christ says, I have indeed conquered death. I am the victorious one. And one day, all knees shall bow, and all peoples will acknowledge that I am Lord and I am God. So as we go out into this world, into this dark world all around us, may we go out as those who have life, and may we declare that Jesus Christ indeed is alive and that he is the hope, the only hope for this world, for all those around us, for you. Declare it. Believe it. Have hope in it, for Jesus Christ is indeed the victorious one. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Holy God, we thank you from the depth of our heart that we have come to know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, dead, buried, but on the third day, risen again from the dead, that he ascended to heaven and sits at your right hand. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. From there, he'll rule forever. And Heavenly Father, we pray as we live out our lives upon this world, in this world, and we confess often our brokenness, our inability to speak your words, to share our faith, to live to the depth of our being, that hope within us that you indeed may take us, that you may help us, that you may equip us, that we may not doubt, but that we may believe, that we may find hope in the midst of much hopelessness, because Jesus Christ is alive. He died for the complete remission of all of our sins. In him, we have eternal life. Amen.